These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ner Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
The events surrounding the first part of the Parsha, as most of you know, have their origins in the Parsha of last week. Maaseh Zimri belongs to Parshas Bullock, and Sechar Pinchas belongs to Parshas Pinchas. The opening verses of the Sidra indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wishes to give a certain reward to Pinchas. And I direct your attention to the Sefer Shem Yishmuel, because there is a most profound insight in that Sefer regarding the nature of that schar. Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen says the Medrash as follows. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bidin hu sheyitol sechoro. He is entitled to his reward, Bidin. Lochein emor, hinini no sein lo, esperisi shalom. Says the Shem Yishmuel, ve'eino muvon, and it is not clearly understood, ma hishmiyonu ha-medrash. What exactly the Medrash is telling us with these words, Bidin hu sheyitol sechoro. Ukvar dibru bozeh kolam meforeshim, and all the meforeshei ha-medrash have already offered their interpretation of the midrash. Ukvar amanu. However, we have said on one occasion lefaresh to explain the midrash al pi ma'amar hakosuk, based on an interpretation of a pasuk in Tehillim which reads, ulecho Hashem chesed, chesed belongs to you. You demonstrate chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki ato tishalem le'ish k'maaseihu, because you reward every individual according to his actions. Reward for mitzvos, apparently, according to the posuk, is not midas hadin, it is midas ha-chesed. V'lechu Hashem chesed, ki ato tishalem le'ish k'maaseihu. The posuk itself needs understanding. Why should the reward which the individual receives he considers as emanating from the midas ha-chesed? The yisba'eir, and that also can be understood, lefi ma shekosav ha-ramban, according to what the Ramban writes on the posuk, utzedoka tihiyelonu, ki nishmor la'asos eskol ha-mitzvah hazos. We will be in receipt of tzedoka, we say to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, if and when we observe your commandments. Says the Ramban, why would the pasuk use the word tzedakah, which is normally translated as an act of charity? Why would it be considered an act of charity for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reward us for shmiras ha-mitzvos? Says the Ramban, kara gemul ha-mitzvos tzedakah. The pasuk refers to the reward which we obtain for the performance of mitzvos tzedakah. Why? Ki ha'eved ha'kanui le'rabo shehu chayav la'avodoso. Because let us take the case, says the Ramban, of a slave who is owned by his master and is obliged to serve him. In yitain od sachol la'avodoso. If the master will insist on giving his slave some recognition of his work, tzedakah ya'aseimo, then it's an act of charity, because since the slave is duty-bound by virtue of his being a slave to do everything that the master dictates, it should follow that he is not in a position either to demand or to be entitled to any reward. V'zeh atzmo yesh lefaresh ha-kosuf. With that insight, says the Shem Yishmuel, we can understand the pasuk that we have mentioned. You display your midas ha-chesed, we say to Hashem, when you reward every individual according to his deeds. Hainu, that is to say, when you pay an individual, you reward an individual for his actions, midah keneged midah, where it would be supposed on a superficial level that what the individual is getting is indeed because of Midas Hadin, because after all, he is quote-unquote entitled to it, having done the mitzvos. Sha'arei metachtik imori shalei mida b'mida, alto makim. Says the Shemesh Mu'el, that's what the Pasuk is telling you, don't say that. Don't say that you get the reward because you deserve it. Mitzad midas hadin. Ela ha'kul hu mitzad midas ha'chesed. Shaharei ha'odom konui la'Hashem Yisbarach. Well, atach no tzorkah. Because in reality, we are avodim ha'im asher otzeisiyas b'nei zimiyat Yisrael. You have been brought to me as slaves, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are obligated to do my commandments, my mitzvahs. And therefore, if I choose to reward you, it can only be regarded as midas ha'chesed. If indeed in the case of an ordinary slave, who when he performs certain actions for his master, which he has been demanded of him, it is considered, if his master will choose to give him some recognition, that is considered an act of charity and chesed, Cain, who, Sechar, Hamitzos, likewise it is in the area of any reward that we obtain as a result of the observance of the mitzvahs. So you should know that whenever reward comes to us, it is always above and beyond Midas Hadin. Mitzad Midas Hadin, we are entitled to absolutely nothing. Because we are owned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki lekach no tzor. Says the Shem Yishvuel, Achinei kol ze yitzdak, the mitzvah shenitzdavino la'aso son. This thesis which we have proposed here is a thesis which holds true in regards to all commandments which we are duty-bound to observe. Since we are duty-bound to observe them, we are not entitled to expect any reward mitzad midas hadin, because that is why we have been, as it were, taken by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as his servants. Avol mitzvos shelo nitzdavinu laso som klal. But if we move into a different area, if we move into an area of those type of mitzvos where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not placed them as an obligation on us, and furthermore, and if a person were to come forward and ask regarding these activities, should he perform them, we would not give him a directive so to do. If we are speaking about a situation such as we have with Pinchas, where in reality, when Pinchas rose up, it was not in response to any divine imperative. On the contrary, as Chazal tell us in Gemara Sanhedrin, had Pinchas come to Moshe Rabbeinu and asked him, am I permitted to kill Zimri and Cosby at this particular moment, to use the phrase advisedly in flagrante, am I allowed to kill them? We would have said to him, no, you are not allowed. Hey, Lodin Cain. And when the Gemara says, who is allowed to kill these people who are involved intimately, Jew and non-Jewess? The Gemara says, Kanoin Poginbo, those who are filled with zeal, but it is not a divine imperative. It is something which they do because they feel themselves, in the words of the Shem Yishmuel, She'eno yochol lisbol u'mekane kinas Hashem. So therefore you have to know that mitzad ch'anoin poginbo, mitzad the mitzvah, mitzad the deed which Pinchas did, it does not fall under the category of u'lecho Hashem ha'chesed or u'tzedok lo tiyelonu, because those are things to invoke in regard to mitzvahs which are incumbent upon us. But the maaseh that Pinchas did was not a mitzvah which is incumbent upon him. It is something which he feels motivated to do, and therefore, lo zeh bo haschar mitzad hadin, velo mitzad hachesed levad, v'zeh hishmiyonu hamedrash. So the Medrash is telling us the words, bedin hu sheyitol secharo. He is not entitled to reward mitzad hachesed or mitzad hatzedoko. That is a theme which applies only to mitzvos chiyumiyos. Here we are speaking about something which an individual comes of his own prompting. And on the contrary, again I emphasize, had Phinehas come and asked Moshe Rabbeinu, may I or may I not, we would not have given him a directive. And furthermore, the Gemara tells us that had Zimri turned on Phinehas and killed him, Zimri could not have been slain by a beastie, because Phinehas had a din of rode, a pursuer. So it is, as it were, totally of a non-mandatory nature, to the extent that he placed his life on the line because he was burning with this zeal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the theme in Bedin Hu Sheyitzo Lesechora. What I would like to do now, in the same parsha, is to indicate to you, through the words of the Meshech Chochma, the extent of what it is that Pinchas achieved by what he did in regards to Zimri and Cosby. The Meshech Chochma you find beside the Shem Yishvuch. And here a most profound interpretation. We know that there are certain women whom a Kohen is not allowed to marry. He's not allowed to marry a Gerusha. He's not allowed to marry a Chalutza. And the child of such a marriage would be, of course, a Choloch. And therefore, the question is raised, what will happen if such a person will perform the Avodah, a Ben Gerusha or a Ben Chalutza? Bidiyeved, what will be post facto? What will be the status of that Avodah? Says the Gemara, Meshech Chochma says, Uve Kiddushin, and in the Gemara Kiddushin, Daf Samach Vav Omed Beis, it reads as follows. Uben Gerusha Uben Chalutza Di Avodah So Kishela Min Olei. From where do we learn that if the son of a Kohen and a Gerusha, or the son of a Kohen and a Chalutza, performs the Avodah, the Avodah is Bidiyeved Kishela, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel? So Rav Yehuda says in the name of his teacher Shmuel, the Omar Kro, because the Pasuk says at the beginning of our Parsha, V'hayesalo ulezaro acharov, and it shall be to him and to his descendants after him, Bariske ulasolam. Now, on the words ulezaro acharov, the rabbis make the following mysterious observation, which seems to have no basis in the pshat of the Pasuk. On the words ulezaro acharov, bein zera kosher, bein zera posel. Whether the issue is kosher or non-kosher. In other words, even if the son who is doing the avodah is a zera posel, result of a forbidden relationship, a kohen with a gerusha or a kohen with a chalutza, it is still, the avodah is post facto acceptable. Now, the shaila which baffles all the Mefarshei HaGemara is, where do you see in this pasuk that the words ulezaru acharov imply not only if the descendant who is performing the avodah is kosher, but even if the descendant who is performing the avodah is posel? Where do you see it in the pasuk? All it says is ulezaru acharov. Says Meshech Chochma, it's a masterpiece. Haperush. Let us understand that the interpretation as given to this pasuk by Chazal is contextual. It is thematic. What do I mean? You should know, first of all, Dibnei Moshe Nisrachaku min HaKehuna. Why is it, asks the Ibn Ezra, that the Kehuna was not given to Moshe Rabbeinu's descendants? Why was the Kehuna given to Aharon? Says the Ibn Ezra, Mipnei Shebonov Hayu Bnei Bas Yisro. Because on the, what they used to call in ancient English, on the distaff side, there is a descendancy from Yisro, Bas Yisro, outside the fold. And that means that even though Moshe Rabbeinu lo kom, but since it has to be perfect, both from the side Mitzad Ho'av and Mitzad Olim, and Mitzad Olim there is something not totally 100%, says the Ibn Ezra, that's why Kehuna was not given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Lokach B'nei Aharon Shahayumi Yuchosim the Kehuna, says the Meshech Chochma. Therefore, the B'nei Aharon, So that is why, taking the Ibn Ezra one stage further, now we have understood why Moshe Rabbeinu was rejected, because on the distaff side there is something which is not 100% perfect. And Aharon is chosen as next in line because he has married the daughter of Nachshon, who is in the vernacular Mishalanu. That being the case, we now understand why it is that Pinchas was not initially accepted as a Kohen, because Pinchas hayah ben bas putiel. So Pinchas originally was rejected because the same stool, quote unquote, that we found in Moshe Rabbeinu, namely, that there is a descendancy mitzad ha'ayim which is not altogether acceptable, the same succeeded in having Pinchas disqualified originally. But now what happens? As a result of the fact that he killed Zimri and Cosby, v'lochein gam hu lo niskahein ad shehorag Zimri. But once he kills Zimri and Cosmi, he is now given the reward of Kahuna. So what is the declaration here on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Not merely that I am giving you Kohen, you Pinchas, the status of a Kohen, but what I am going to do with you, which I never did with Moshe Rabbeinu, is to ignore the non-acceptable origin. That's what initiating Pinchas into the Kohen is. In other words, what was previously taken as a disqualification, for which reason, according to the Ibn Ezra, Moshe Rabbeinu was rejected, that objection has now been set aside, and Pinchas, therefore, not only is he nominated and inducted, as it were, into Kahuna, but he has done so despite whatever drawbacks there may have been originally, and therefore, by initiating Pinchas into the Kahuna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making a declaration that from henceforth, those type of objections do not invalidate. That's what he's saying. V'lochein amar, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. That's why the sentence begins with Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, says Meshachava, to emphasize that our concern now with Pinchas is only that the father be acceptable. Where the mother's side came from, we are ignoring. That's the vault in Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. Up to now, even though we recognize Pinchas' genealogy, mitzad ha'av, we nevertheless prevented him from becoming a Kohen, as indeed we prevented Moshe Rabbeinu's children from becoming Kohanim, because on the distaff side there was a psul. But the initiation of Pinchas into the Kahuna, as a result of what he did, Maisa Zimri and Cosby, is a declaration that henceforth, psul mitzad ha'av will not be regarded as a psul. So therefore, Lochein Amor, Hinni Nosei Lois Brisi Shalom, you should know from henceforth, the Busar Ovi Vazil, that from henceforth we will only concern ourselves with regards to who his father is, Shehum Yuchos, Umashe Imom Ibenos Putiel, but the fact that he is, his mother is Mibenos Putiel, Ze Eino Poseil Bechuhun also, from henceforth, that problem will never be taken into account. So now we are being told, the same way as we take no notice of the psul mitzad ha'ayim regarding lo, we will take no notice of the psul mitzad ha'ayim regarding ulizaro acharo, which is genius. That's the theme. The fact that Lizar O Acharov, one or two or more, maybe Sul Mitzad Ha'ayim, but by the very existence of Pinchas as a Kohen, which only came about by rejecting Sul Mitzad Ha'ayim, Ein achisoren shebemalach imo goremes lo lechalila vodoso de bosar avihem osne shehu bemalosso is ein chisoren vehu lo nischalei. So therefore, again to emphasize, What we are being told by the initiation of Pinchas into Kahuna is what kept him out before, what made him unacceptable, will henceforth never bring about the rejection of the descendant of his. Meaning a descendant of Kahuna. That's the new terms which have come about through the initiation of Pinchas into Kahuna, that whereas up to now, Mitzad Ho'aim was sufficient to disqualify Moshe Rabbeinu because of his wife's origins, and Pinchas because of his mother's origins. Henceforth, that will be rejected. Namely, Psul Ho'aim does not reflect in any way on the validity of what it is that a descendant of such a union will perform. And that is why we learn V'hoya Solo Ulezaro Acharov Bein Zerah Kosher Bein Zerah Kosher, because it is a masterpiece. After we have finished this particular union, we cannot deny, unfortunately, that there has been a tremendous plague which has swept amongst the Bnei Israel as a result of the episode of Baal Peor. And as I did not mention at any length last week, but certainly worthwhile just alluding to, and it's a shame, we look at it in greater detail next year, we cannot deny that Moshe Rabbeinu said to those people who were appointed as judges over the people, I want you to go out and kill all those who were involved in Baal Peor. And we have no reason to suppose that the judges in any way ignored that command. So they went out and they actually physically killed those people who had been involved in Baal Peor, the Edom Ubahasra'ah, when there were witnesses and when there was warning, as is required by a Jewish court. When the Pasuk at the end of last week's Siddur concluded by Yehiyu, that there were 24,000 who died by the plague came and affected those who were involved in Baal Peor, who had not qualified because there were no Edom and Hasroah to be killed by the judges. The same is for the Chet HaEgel. There were those who were killed by the Bnei Levi, and there were those who were killed by Magepa, and there were those who killed because they drank the waters containing the dust of the golden calf. So here we have at least 24,000, and if not many, many thousands more. So therefore it should come as no surprise that at the end of this particular Magepa, as is noted in Perek Tavav on the Pasuk Aleph, by Yehi Acharei HaMagepa, that the instruction comes to Moshe Rabbeinu to count the Bnei Yisroel. And here, Rashi offers the traditional, I don't use that chas v'sholom in a disparaging way, I only use the word traditional because it is the more usual, the more commonly known explanations as to why there should be a counting at this stage. By Yehi Acharei HaMagepa, also Rashi says, Moshe it can be compared to a shepherd, where wolves came and attacked his flock, and therefore the humone, O son, and after the attack he counts them again, in order to find out how many are left, because a shepherd, after all, he is devoted to his task and wants to know how great the damage that has been inflicted really was. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is, when the Jewish people originally came out of Mitzrayim nearly 40 years ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Bnei Yisrael into Moshe Rabbeinu's charge, and at the time when he gave them into his charge, he numbered them. Because we know, in Parshas Bo, at the end, we were told how many hundreds of thousands of Jews between the ages of 20 and 60 went out of Mitzrayim. So now that there is going to be a changeover, now that Moshe Rabbeinu gets ready to leave his flock and to pass them on to the next leader, Machziron b'minyan, he also hands them on the minyan, as if to say, I hope that I have done my task properly. Now here I came across a very beautiful observation by the Alshich HaKadosh. It's very rare that we have an opportunity, and I like to bring as wide a variety of Meforshim, and the Alshich HaKadosh certainly is one of the greats of Parshanut. and signs of added interest in learning Bichlal and in Limud Torah Bifrat is the fact that the Arshich HaKodesh has now been printed in a new form and much more legible than the previous editions. So the Arshich devotes himself for a moment or two to the second suggestion of Moshe of Rashi, that Moshe Rabbeinu now prepares to hand over his flock, so therefore that's the reason why he would want to count, as if to indicate that he has kept his job faithfully. Says the Arshich, the Adayin Sorek Losei's Tam. But in order to understand that Rashi, we would have to explain, Longa Mihel Hu Yisporach Limno Son Kores, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe Rabbeinu to count them immediately? Below Yamtinat Somach Lesiluk Moshe Rabbeinu Olam HaSholem Alvoh Chamisha Yomim. And why not wait till Moshe Rabbeinu actually comes to give over his flock to Yehoshua 4 or 5 days before his death? This is already many months before he's dying. If the idea is to hand it over and to say, I've done my job faithfully, you don't do that 6 months before. 4, 5 days before. So the Alshech HaKadosh is not too impressed with the second answer. Alkein achshava ki od hayu shenei tamim. So therefore, in my humble opinion, says the Alshech, there are two other salient reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu will command Moshe Rabbeinu to count the Bnei Yisroel. Echad, one reason is as follows. Ki halo asher omru rabosenu zal. Chazal in their comments in the Medrash to Shir HaShirim, they say like this. Shehayo belev goyei ha'onetz. The goyim were saying about the Jewish people, ki haya bilti efshar liyacheis es Yisrael yotzei yerecho yotzei mitzrayim leves avosam. The Goyim were laughing at the Jewish people. Here you are. You're telling me that these sons are the sons of this wife. These sons are the sons of this wife. That you've all kept your families and your morality intact. And every child knows its own parent or parents. The Goyim were saying, Hagelechten. Why? The Yomram, because they said, in Bohem Shortu. If the Egyptians owned the male's body and soul and made them do whatever they wanted to do, Binisho say him no culture in how much more so that the Egyptians were able to do whatever they wanted with their women, and therefore who knows who is the real father of many of these, most of these children that supposedly maintain that they come from this particular home, and that is my father and that is my mother. That is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the beginning of Bamidbar deliberately commanded that the Jewish people should be counted and insisted on saying, Ki kulam hayu leveis avosam. Not only that we know who the mothers are, but we know who the fathers are. That despite rumor and insinuation to the contrary, every Jewish child was the son of Jewish parents. And the one exception was the exception that we've looked into on many occasions with the Nokev Shem Hashem, and as reported in regards to the person who Moshe Rabbeinu killed, reported at the beginning of Perek Beis in Sefer Shemos. Now, so what did the Goyim were saying? They were sniggering behind the Jews' back. That, not at all. The Egyptians had their way with these Jewish women. There was no family, kiyem bias, etc., etc. And therefore the idea that they should be all considered as family units is a galette. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded that they be counted and insisted that it be written down in the vase of Osam, hoping that that would keep everybody quiet. But what happened? V'hine ator al yedei maise hashitim. But when it came to the mice of what happened in Shittim, Shemesu me Yisrael Esrim v'yavor Erev Ish Asher Nitnu v'zimor, when a plague broke out amongst the Jewish people who had worshipped Baal and had been involved in immoral practices, and there were 24,000 of them. So the Goyim were saying, you see, we told you, these people are not people with high moral values at all. Hariah! You see that at least 24,000 of them have been killed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they were involved in immoral practices. Hello, Yehuda Mishnah Psalm. So this wakens up the Goyim from their sleep. Asher Choshvu Meyoz Al-Banos Yisrael Sheshaltu Bom HaGoyim. So now they begin to regurgitate what it is that they said originally, and when they maintained that there were no homes where father and mother, husband and wife, were, as it were, intact. We can now prove to you by the mice of Baal Peor that what we said to you originally was the truth, and you can only keep it hidden for so long. But as they say in the classics, truth will out. And therefore Baal Peor in itself, they say, vindicates what we have maintained all the time, that these Jewish people have no morality and no ethic and no concept of family. They are people who are steeped in immorality. And who knows? All right. We would say to you, fine. So the Egyptians didn't have anything to do with the Yidden. They left them alone. But look the way the Yidden conduct themselves. You can rest assured, they are saying, says the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, that if is the way they are conducting themselves, the 24,000 were killed by a plague because of immorality, Mestama, there was a bit of adultery going on between them also. And therefore, you don't know whose father it is, you don't know who's the mother, you don't know what it is. And therefore, how is it possible to say of the Jewish people, Levei Savosom, that the people who maintain that are their fathers are indeed their fathers? So therefore, take a flamaisa hora hazeh, immediately after the episode of Baal Peor, Bohu Yisporachu min Na'am, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came again and commanded that they be counted by Yochem et Shem, Yud Kei, Al Kol Mishpacho Som. And in order to give every family and every tribe the stamp of approval, HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed the Yud and the Hay from his name at the beginning and end of every family of every tribe. L'chanoch mishpachas ha-chanochi, the hay and the yod, ha-talui, the chen b'chol mishpachos Yisrael, and all the families of Israel treated likewise. L'man yehi Hashem yud kei al kol mishpacha, so that part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name should be on every family. Lomar, to tell you, Shemizeh, this is my name. And it is Eidos who Yisrael Shirohoyo, who were attracted and were seduced by Baal Peor and by the Midianite women and by the Moabite women and whatever else. But those are the ones who are all gone. And the ones who remain have never been involved in these practices, not with Goyim and Kal v'chomer, not with Yidden. So therefore the counting again is to confirm and to emphasize that the Bnei Yisrael at that time were indeed a moral and ethical people, and that their family lives amidst all that was going on was indeed something to be proud of, an example for the entire world. That's why we say, Velo Somonu Kemishbechosu Adam. That's the way it used to be. Okay. So that's the interpretation. The other we leave for another time. What I would like to look into now is something which I believe is also part of our understanding of Torah, and that is the appointment of Yehoshua. And to ask ourselves exactly what was this appointment in legal and halachic terms. So in order to be able to understand, let us first of all look into the parsha which deals with the appointment of Yehoshua after the Maisa of Benosilokot. Perek Kaf Zayin, beginning with Pasuk Tezvah. And here a number of very important items will emerge. And in order to explain, I refer you to the Revelvel, which was on the second side. And these are Yedios that we have to know. There are certain allusions to Psukim in the Parsha, but apart from anything else, we have to know who Yehoshua was. And we will see through the Mephoshim that Yehoshua in fact fulfilled three roles. So we begin as follows, says Revelvel. The Sanhedrin Daf Ches Kesiv. In the Gemara Sanhedrin and Daf Ches, the Gemara then brings two expressions associated with Yehoshua. On the one hand, the Pasuk says that HaKadosh, that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yehoshua at the end, as he prepares to die, Ki ato tovo es ha'om hazeh. Right? And another Pasuk says, Ki ato tovi es ha'om hazeh. Two expressions. Tovo and Tovi. All Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says the following. Omale Moshe li Yehoshua. Moshe says to Yehoshua, Atov hazakenim shebador imohem. You together with the zakenim of this generation. Kiyatot Tovo es olam. You are coming with the zakenim of this generation. And then the Gemara goes on to say, Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Tzul Makel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Yehoshua, take a stick, V'ach Al-Kokadam, and beat the Jews on their heads. Dabor Echod Lador, V'ein Shenei Daborim Lador. Only one leader for a generation, not two leaders. Said Rav Hervel, these statements in the Gemara require an explanation. Because both of these statements, even what was said here in the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, Ki Atot Tovo, was also told to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell Yehoshua. How is it possible that there should be an argument between the two psukim? After all, both of them, Elu v'Elu, Divrei Elokim Chayim. V'gam Mahu Haloshen, also we have to understand, what is the expression? Tul Makel V'Hach Hakod Kodom, Mahu Lehusip Bozeh. What is this rabbi coming along and adding by saying, take a stick and hit them? V'nire Lomar Havir Bozeh. And I would like to offer an explanation of this statement in the Gemara. To be Emes Shetei Hadibros Emes. Because in reality, both statements, Ki Atot Tovo, Ki Atot Tovi, are Eilu V'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, and both comments in the Gemara Sanhedrin, both are correct, and there is no argument between them. U'shenei Yonim Nifrodim Heim. They are two separate items. V'hine, because you should know. Yeshenei Ofane Netzius. You should know that there are two types of leadership. Senesiuson Chalo Al Kol Yisrael, who are regarded as leaders of the entire people. Only two. Who can move Rambam Bedekavami Hilchasan Hedon, Leinian Halav, as the Rambam says, in regards to the negative prohibition, the Nasi the Anacholosa or do not curse your Nasi. Who does it refer to, says the Rambam? The Zanishono. The Chain in Kilel Hanasi. Therefore, if a person were to curse the Nasi v'yamach alozor, who is the Nasi? He is Echad Rosh Sanhedrin Gedola, either the head of Sanhedrin, or Hamelech, or a king. Harezeh Obeh Belosa say, in those two cases he transgresses the negative commandment, Shenemah v'Nasi v'yamach alozor. So therefore we conclude, V'haydeh Mishum Dehanach Tati, Nitziyusan Hi Al-Kol Yisrael V'Kolina V'Hu V'Nasi V'Yamacha. If you want to know who are the two leaders who are called leaders of the Jewish people, one is the king, and the other is the head of the Sanhedrin, the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. Says Reb Belbel, V'hinei Moshe Rabbeinu Olof HaShalom Hayu Bo Shetnei Ofanei Nitziyus Ho'elum. Moshe Rabbeinu had these two roles. Because indeed he was a king, as is mentioned in the Gemara's Vachim and in the Rambam. And he was also a Nasi HaSanhedrin, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that means. And you should know that Hein Gam Yehoshua Hayu Bo Shenei Haminuyim, says Rav Elul, Yehoshua also fulfilled these two roles. Yehoshua was indeed a king with all the laws of a king. And in fact, says Rav Belbel, Umikre Mole Divarakosov. And we have a pasuk which confirms that he was a king. Because the pasuk says in Yehoshua Pelik Aleph, Kol Ish Asheri Yamre Espicha, Velo Yishma Estivorecha Lechol Asher Tetzavenu, you must. Whoever will transgress your word and will not listen to you will die. And it is from that pasuk that Chazal learned, Echi of Misal Amoreid B'malchus. It is from there we learn that a person who defies the king, in whatever it may be, is a person deserving of death. So you should know that first and foremost, Yehoshua was a king. Umilavadzeh, hoyogam nesi ha-sanhedin, and likewise he was the nesi ha-sanhedin. Ushenei elu haminuyim nemru v'parsha zu deyivkod. And indeed, in the parsha that I asked you to open, when it speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to appoint, Yivkod, etc., those two roles aren't mentioned. How do I know? Because first of all, it says, "Machtelis Yoruch Walov." You shall place your hands on him. And we know that the smicha has nothing to do with kingship. The smicha is instituted in order to appoint a person as a nasi Sanhedrin. Because smicha has nothing to do with Malchus. Mashiach, anointing with oil has to do with Malchus. Smicha has nothing to do with Malchus. It has to do with halachic authority. And therefore, from the words of Samachto, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is initiating Yehoshua as his successor, as Nasi HaSanhedrin. Furthermore, V'nirdi al zeh hu shenemru shnei adibros. And now I understand, says the Velvel, how we explain the two Ma'amorim, the two Psukim, and the explanation of Chazal. As Nasi ki atah tovo es hoham hazeh. As a Nasi, you come together with the Sanhedrin. The Nasi of the Sanhedrin is powerless without the Sanhedrin. He is the conductor. He is the head. But without es hoham hazeh, he doesn't function, the Nasi has to have a Sanhedrin. However, in regards to Kiyato Toviyesawamazeh, you will bring these people. That, says Rabbi Yochanan, refers not to Nasi HaSanhedrin. That refers to another role which Yehoshua is going to be invested with, and that is Als Melech. And it is in regards to his role as Melech that the second part comes in the mind of Rabbi Yochanan. Omar Leah Kodesh Baruch Hu, in regards to the fact that you are being appointed a king, as a king you are entitled to lay down the law without a Sanhedrin, without a court, without a Beis Din, whatever you say is goes. Because a Mole, the Malchus, is high of me, sir. And you should know that in that regard, Dabor Echod Lador, V'Yinshenei Daborim Lador, one king, no two kings. So therefore, what we have succeeded in obtaining from the words of the Bible is that Yehoshua is likewise, at this particular moment, being initiated, or the intimations are that he will be initiated into the two roles which have been left by Moshe Rabbeinu, namely Melech and Nasi HaSanhedrin. For the sake of completeness, it is worthwhile mentioning, as Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal does in a very, very extraordinarily long article which was written many, many moons ago, where he explains that there is another role which Yehoshua was initiated into, which is also mentioned in this particular paragraph. And he introduces the third role as follows, and it is worthwhile remembering. He refers us to the Hakdama, the introduction of the Rambam to the Mishnah Torah, and the Rambam writes like this. Even though the Torah Shebaal Peh was never written down in the type of Moshe Rabbeinu, Limdor Moshe Rabbeinu Kula Beveistino Leshivim Zekadim. Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah Shebaal Peh to his Beistin of Shivim Zekadim, the Elotor, who Pinchas, the Yehoshua, Shiloshtom Kimlumi Moshe, and in particular, Elotor, Pinchas, and Yehoshua, received the traditions from Moshe Rabbeinu, and thirdly, who the Yehoshua Shehu Talmido Shel Moshe Rabbeinu Mostar Torah Shebaal Peh Vitzivahu Olleha. Three things. Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah Shebaal Peh to the Shivim Zekanim. In particular, Elazar and Pinchas and Yehoshua received the traditions from Moshe Rabbeinu. But to Yehoshua, he gave him Mosar Torah Shebaal Peh Vitzivahu Olleha. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, even though it says in the Rambam that Elazar, Pinchas, and Yehoshua, Kiblu, received everything that Moshe Rabbeinu had to give them, in regards to Mosar, it was Mosar only to Yehoshua. Moshe Kibir told him, Yisinai u'mesoro lo Yehoshua, and handed it down to Yehoshua. What is the pshat? The pshat is that in the time when Torah Shebaal Peh was still Baal Peh, not written down, one individual in every generation had to become the Baal HaMasuris, had to become the person who was nominated to be next in line in the chain of oral tradition. And that's a position. It has nothing at all to do with learning. And also learned from Moshe Rabbeinu especially. That's why he's not included in the Shimon HaZakenim. And Pilchus likewise, and Yehoshua likewise. They all learned equally. But who was nominated to be the Baal HaMasuris? Yehoshua. And the Rambam goes on to say, who Pinchas me Yehoshua. And Pinchas, who became the next Baal Masorah in line, he was Mekabel, the Masorah from Yehoshua. So the fact that Pinchas and Yehoshua and Elazar had all learned from the same Moshe Rabbeinu had nothing at all to do with it. Yehoshua was nominated as the Baal Masorah, and when he came to pass on, he gave over the Masorah to Pinchas and so on. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, and this is what the Yalkut Shimoni means when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'tzivisa osto li'einehem, you shall command him in front of their eyes, and the Yalkut says, Ein sivui b'chol mokum ela divrei sora. The reference is not to teaching him Torah. The tzivui is an appointment by Yitzavim al b'nei Yisrael, el b'nei Yisrael. So therefore, Yehoshua is being initiated not into one, not into two, but into three positions after Moshe Rabbeinu has passed on. Nesi HaSanhedrin, Melech, and the Baal HaMasuris. It's very important to keep these roles in your mind and also distinct. Now we move on to the latter part of the Sidra. And, of course, as you know, that section of the Sidra is associated with the Korbonos. And let us therefore look at the Malbim in his comments on Perek Kafhez, Pasuk Aleph and Beis. As they say in the classics, Ein Mikriyut Bakosuf. There is no accident in the way the Torah was written down. And therefore we are entitled to assume that if the Korbonos, the Tamidim, the Musafim, whatever it is, if the Korbonos are mentioned in Parshas Pinchas after the intimation of the demise of Moshe Rabbeinu and the fact that he will not be coming into Eretz Yisrael, there has to be a reason why the Parsha of the Korbonos is placed next to the nomination of a successor to Moshe Rabbeinu, which in itself implies that Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to take them into Eretz Yisrael. And here the Malbim. The Malbim is actually referring to a Sifrei. Chazal Pirishu Inyan Semichus Parsha Satomid Lehanema Lemalo. The rabbis in the Sifrei have indicated why it is that the Parsha of the Tamidim, the continual offerings of morning and evening, are placed next to the Parsha of the nomination of Yehoshua as a successor. And they say, because the purpose of the Tamidim in the temple were to cancel out, to annul, all those people who worship the sun. Sheheim mishtachavim v'ovdim es ha-shemesh pa'amayim bayom. Because the people who worship the sun worshiped it twice a day. V'zroach ha-shemesh, they worshiped it when the sun rose. Uveno arbayim v'eitz ha-shekiyah, and at the afternoon when it comes to the set. Avodas ha-vogor ho-yopone la-mizrach, they worship the sun in the morning by turning to the east. And in the evening they would turn towards the west, the setting of the sun. Therefore, Sivu Hashem, HaGadosh Baruch Hu therefore commanded, in order to destroy all this alien idea about the sun being the possessor and the decider of all welfare, HaGadosh Baruch Hu commanded, Lahakriv Leponov Shnei HaTamidim. He commanded that we sacrifice one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And furthermore, notice, Vestiya Shechidas Tomid Shel Shachar, and you should know that the Chazal instituted that the slaughtering of the Tomid of the morning has to be on the Kelen Sophronis Ma'arovis, the northwest, the Albino Arbayim, Al Kelen Sophronis Mizrachis. and in the evening the Shechita was done on the northeast. Therefore, Hefer Avodas HaShemesh, in order to go against what it is that people who worship the sun where they used to feast. Now, so that's why the Tamidim say Chazal were instituted. The Yoduang Asher Kotzvu Chazal, and is it not well known what Chazal have told us? Had Moshe Rabbeinu been permitted to come into Eretz Yisrael, he would have been with his koach, and being in Eretz Yisrael, he would have had the koach to be mevatel the Yetzirah of Avodah Zorah, below Hayotzorich LaAvodah Satomid, and there would have been no need for the Avodah Satomid. Says the Malbim, now you understand, we don't need to go further. Since Moshe Rabbeinu is now nominating a successor, implication being that he is not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, therefore the necessity to instruct regarding the Tamidim becomes absolutely vital, because had Moshe Rabbeinu been going in, the need for the Tamidim would have been superfluous. Therefore it is obvious why, when Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to appoint a successor, because Moshe Rabbeinu knows he's not going in, it is obvious why such a chapter, such a paragraph, should be followed by the episode of the Tamidim. Now, for our final offering, of the evening, let me draw your attention to a Meshech Chochmah. I'm running out of superlative, so I'll leave it alone. Have a look at the Meshech Chochmah, the last Meshech Chochmah on our page. As you know, the Sidra concludes with a list of offerings which were brought during the days of Sukkot. How these people went through Chumash with a fine-tooth comb. It's staggering. It's a man who died 70 years ago. It's not a Rishon. 1926. Says the Meshechach, Lekele, it is a matter of some astonishment. Debechol Yimei Hachag, in all the sacrifices that are mentioned in regards to the days of Sukkot, of Yom HaSheni, of Yom HaKlishi, etc., etc., in all of them it is written, and their meal offerings and their wine libations. Levad, with the exception of Horevi, Ushmini Atzeres. With the exception of the fourth day, and Shmini Atzeres, there it's written, Min Chasam Vidiskehem. Says Meshachach, Belaibah, without a love, is it not something worth looking into? The obvious answer is yes. Says Meshachoth, maybe we can offer an explanation in the following way. In Gemara Sukkah Daf Nun Hayom Beis, Rabbi Elazar says like this. If you make a calculation, you will discover that during the first 7 days of Sukkot, we offer no less than 70 bulls. It's Hani Shivim Ponim Kineged Me. Who are these 70 bulls brought? What do they symbolize? The number 70 in total. Answers the Gemara, Kineged Shivim Humos. They are brought on behalf of the 70 nations of the world. Rashi, on their behalf, Sheyedu Gishomim Beartsom, that rain should fall in their lands. We pray on behalf of the Goyim. Okay. Now, Uve Menachos Reish Pedik Elu Menachos Nikmotsos, and if you look into the Gemara in Menachos in Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Koma Rabbi Akiva says, even though a non-Jew can offer up sacrifices in the Beis Hamikdash, we can bring them on his behalf. He can only bring ra'olos who may be v'chol chavroseo hayu nesochim aboyim ma'zevach. He can only bring olos, burnt offerings, and when he brings those burnt offerings, he can bring everything that goes with them. The nesochim, the wine libations, since he's bringing the animal as a burnt offering, so he can bring the attendant items with. So therefore, we know that a goy on his own cannot bring menachos and nesachim on their own. He can only bring menochos and nesochim if he is already bringing an ola. So he can only bring menochos and nesochim if they are the added extras to the main korban, which is the behemoth. So to allude to the fact that the korbanos are being brought on behalf of goyim, it says, u minchasom ve niskehem. To allude to the fact that goyim can only bring menochos and nesochim, u, if they are being brought together with the animal sacrifice. So he says, v'im kein, v'chol ha-porim, in regards to all the bulls which are brought, shebehemis hein lechapir al ho'oved gilulim, which have come to atone for the goyim. Ho'oved gilulim ain't leaving menochos and nesochim. He is not allowed to bring them in their own right. That b'shvil shehi bor im ha-zerach. He's only allowed to bring them when they come together with the animal. Lochein niktav, therefore, in regards to the goyim, it's written, u min chasam v'niskehem, lehorosh, to explain and to indicate, de'ein mokom lehamenochos unesochim, rak b'shvil azevach, that the only time goyim can bring menochos and nesochim is when they are bringing an animal. Sheglal hazevach mevim gam kein menochos unesochim. So the U comes to tell you that when you're speaking about Goyim, it must be so. Must be U Minchasam. To indicate that Goyim cannot bring Menachos and the Sochim in their own right. It's got to be U. It's got to be part of another sacrifice. That's the Vav. Lo chem b'shmini atzeres. But that's a theme which is inappropriate in Shmini Atzeres. Shaha korban hu lechaper al Yisroel. Because Shmini Atzeres, we only bring one. And the rabbis ask only, why do we only bring one? And the rabbis answer, because it's connected the Anechad Vaholetz, the Goyechad Vaholetz. Shmini Atzeres, the sacrifice is brought because of Yidin. So therefore, when it's dealing with Yidin, Yidin are able to bring the Nachos and the Stochim on their own, as mentioned in parts of Vayikra and Sal. So therefore, when you're talking about Yidin, you say, Min Chasam Beniskeha. Because it doesn't need to be part of another korban which contains a behemoth. Ha, very good. So you've worked out the goyim, and you've worked out the yidden, but what about day four, right? Day four. Says Meshachach. V'chein bayom oravi, on the fourth day, korbono asora porim. You bring 10, and it's in descending order. 13, 12, 11, 10. Now why, who are these 10 nations for whom we bring on the fourth day? V'hula horos al eser umos shenosan ha-kodesh baruch hu li-yisrael v'yaleim kesiv lo sechaya kol neshama. The 10 nations on behalf of whom we bring on the fourth day are none other than the 10 nations whose territories we came in to occupy. The 7 in Eretz Yisrael, and the 3 on Eberayard in Caney, Kinesi, and Kadmoni. And in fact, he says so beautifully, that's why they are on the 4th day, which is in the middle of the 7, because Eretz Yisrael is in the middle of the Yishuv. Eretz Yisrael is Behemtza Kolon. So therefore, if indeed on the 4th day when we bring on behalf of the 10 nations, and they are Goyim, but in reality we are bringing, why? Because there's Rashi in the Gemara Sukkah, so that rains should fall in their land. Not their land. Our land. So therefore, being king, may Horo'ui, she is Chayivu b'nei Yisrael b'korban zeh. So in reality, we should have been the ones to bring the korban on our own behalf, because we occupy those lands now. So we bring them on behalf of the 10 nations, but it's not really on their behalf. It's on our behalf. We're only Meramesh the way it is so, by referring to 10 nations whose lands we now occupy. So since that's also a Yiddish korban, because we're bringing it on behalf of land which we own. Therefore, in came the Horoishi is Chayv of Bnei Yisrael, and there, the Hei Nevi and Gam came Menachos in a Sochem of Bnei Yatzman, and he didn't bring Menachos in a Sochem on their own. So therefore, day four is also an allusion to lands which we hold. Lochein kisiv min chasom v'lovov, lehoros she'en havoas hazeva, in order to tell you that where Yidden are concerned, the bringing of the animal is not necessary, lachrovas ha-menachor ha-nesach. We're not standing in judgment on the Meshech Chochmah, whether it is a correct interpretation or not. First of all, it most definitely is a masterful comment. And as somebody mentioned, and it's very important to remember, I think important even just to mention at this juncture, Meshech Chochma never wrote a Perish on Chumash. Meshech Chochma was a Litvisha gone. He had everything, Shatavli Yerushalmi, everything was here. And he opened up the Chumash, when he opened the Chumash, all types of thoughts used to come into his head, and he used to write them down. And I've seen in Yerushalayim, I've seen copies. He used to sit alone in the old days when he lived in Bialystok, and when something came into his mind on Chumash, he used to take out a little bit of paper from his pocket, and he used to write it down, and he used to fold it up and put it back again. And people have actually discovered these little pieces of paper, which were the beginnings of the Meshech Chochma. And new little bits of paper are being found all the time in his style and in his handwriting. This is who these people were, the Chmoli v'Godush. They were able with Ein Avedolach to open Chumash, Tanakh, whatever it is, and they were able to look in and they were able to see everything. It was all Mefuros and Kesimla. And that is the frightening thing about it, because no matter where they looked, they were able to bring such insights of such relevance and such beauty that they were able to inspire even so many years after Torah was given. Even after the Rishonim and the Gedolei HaAcharonim, you have people in this century who were able to come along and offer us such priceless treasures as these. So we'll leave it over here for them.